Hey, this is Chris Ball. I play bass with the Alchemistics, and you're listening to Valley Free Radio, 103.3 FM, WXOJ LP in Northampton.
And this is Out There. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. It's Wednesday from 4 to 5, every Wednesday from 4 to 5. Here we are. Dwayne's also here with me. I'm hearing feedback. Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
In person? That's feedback.
positive feedback, I prefer. Yes. We got a mix of things in store for listeners today. Like, I'm going to talk about bikes a little bit. I have a brief interview with Jason from Full Circle Bike Shop here in Florence.
Go, Jason.
I also talked with the people who live on the corner of Bardwell and the rail trail who have that giant white oak in their yard. We'll talk about the white oak a little bit. And Dwayne has a special little presentation he's going to do today.
Fracking. We may not have to worry about it too much here, but in other parts of the country, it's a big problem.
So we got little bits of things here and there, and I'm going to go ahead and click this button.
Listen in for DJ guest mixes, locally produced tunes, and news for the Jungle Massive. That's Drum and Bass with DJ Fife, Mondays at 8 o'clock. Part of the Monday Music Night on the Valley Free Radio.
All right, well, I got to exit out of something here on the computers. Jeez, Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne.
Yeah, hey.
I'm glad you're here.
You want to know something that, like, really ticks me off?
Yeah, you want to share it, so go ahead.
I just want to share this. I read the U.S. government made $50 billion in 2013 on student loans. $50 billion. They made $5 billion more than Exxon. Now, that's the interest and penalties and, you know, high interest that they're taking and putting on student loans these days. And that's just, to me, is just pretty incredible.
All right, well.
And it really pisses me off.
All right, well, let's talk about something happy for a minute, and then we'll get back to more things that piss us off, because I got a few, too.
It makes me feel free.
I do it to save money.
I feel in charge when I'm doing it.
It's a healthy way of life.
Why do you bicycle instead of driving a car?
It's a good way to fit more exercise into my day.
Bicycling is a fun, healthy, economical, and fuel-efficient way to travel. Enjoy the ride. Take your bike. Brought to you by the Franklin Regional Council of Governments and Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, with funding provided by the Federal Highway Administration and Massachusetts Executive Office of Transportation. Come visit enjoytherideby-bike.com.
I'm Rachel Maddow with the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission and the Franklin Regional Council of Governments for Valley Free Radio, reminding you that legally, bicycles are vehicles and bicyclists have the same rights and responsibilities and should observe the same rules as motorists. For more information on bicycle rights and safety, go to www.massbike.org.
So I wanted to play those two announcements because now that the weather's warmed up a little bit, I've seen lots of cyclists out in the streets, and it's great.
It is.
The bike.
No, it's wonderful. The bike paths crowded again. But that's okay, because families are getting out and having a good time, and it's just those drivers that are in such a rush.
I don't think...
cell phone, trying to get home, yeah, and late, and in such a rush that they endanger themselves and you and other people by trying to pass you on the road.
Well, I have to admit, I was kind of in a dangerous rush myself earlier this afternoon, racing to a dentist appointment, brushing my teeth while I was riding up the rail trail.
That's worse than a cell phone.
But the dentist said my teeth were clean, the cleanest they'd ever been. So maybe
at least they weren't all over the road. So
the bike lab's also been busy. There's like no one all winter, and then like 14 people last Saturday.
And then come down this weekend, it's going to be sunny and 57. So if you don't have your bikes, if you have your bikes, and like I ran into a person last week, and I have to share this. I was coming up the bike path, and this person I knew was riding down the bike path, and I heard this tick, tick, tick coming off his bicycle. And, you know, so I just kind of slowed, and I was looking at him as he was rolling up to me, and it was this ticking sound, but then I looked down at his tires, and he was riding down the bike path on two flat tires. And I said, what's going on? He's like, huh? To him, it wasn't a problem that he was riding on his rims, and to me, it kind of really upset me. And so I said, hey, well, let's fix this problem. says, apparently you have two flat tires, and let's take care of this. And I had a patch kit and a pump, and he had a pump, but so he didn't know how to anything to do, and his bike it had one quick release. No, it didn't. It had two nuts on there for wrenches, and I happened to have the right wrench, and so got it off and went to patch them up, and we couldn't even get any air in the tires to inflate them to find out where the holes were. So I ended up driving down to Northampton Bicycle.
Driving your bicycle?
Yes. And got two new tubes for his tires, and I brought them back. And I said, dude, it just really upset. It really upset me because, I mean, to see somebody riding their bike was great, but to not care for it properly, and that's what we can take and help train you at the bike lab.
And that's the bike lab every Saturday from 11 to 2 at 12 Northern Avenue.
All bikes are guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Come back any Saturday and we'll help you fix it again. Yeah, you're talking about that bike had two nuts. Yeah, there's more than, I saw, there's some nuts on bikes out there now. And one particular one that we both know of, riding down the sidewalk downtown rather rapidly today. So I just wanted to give a few tips on riding bicycles safely. One is, it's illegal to ride on the sidewalks in the business district unless you're underage. Unless you're a kid.
Yeah.
It's also dangerous for pedestrians and for yourself, and it's just kind of rude. So the streets are a safer place to be than the sidewalks.
Sometimes, so. Except on the weekends in Northampton.
So yeah,
trying to pull in and pull out, parking.
Claim your space on the streets, being visible, being predictable, following the rules of the road. Those are pretty key to bike safety. And if you hug the curb timidly,
you're going to be hugging the curb.
That's a more dangerous thing because you're unpredictable. Motorists can't see you as well. And I know even though we're taught that subconsciously we get messages, let's just say, we get messages that we're not entitled to use the road as much as people who, you know, are surrounded by bigger vehicles what we are. So we need to share this space and
Northampton people are more permissive, or I guess you want to say they're more courteous to you than if you're like riding in some other town, because they know we have bike paths, and maybe a lot of the people ride bikes themselves.
Yeah,
but you still got the nuts.
Nuts on, there's all kinds everywhere. Northampton's great. Get out there. So I had a little interview with Jason up at Full Circle Bike Shop in Florence, up on North Main Street. And he specializes in BMX bikes and things, but he also does commuter stuff. Anyway, here he is.
I'm Rachel Maddow with Pioneer Valley Planning Commission.
Nope.
So Jason, can you tell me how you started this bike shop or got the idea for it? Or?
I had been recently laid off from a restaurant, and I was just sitting around my wife and I said, maybe I should open a bike shop. And she said, I've been waiting for you to say that. And from there, it happened.
When was that?
That was 2006. So yeah, we spent the next year planning, and then 2007 we opened.
Uh-huh. Congratulations on this Gazette Reader's Choice winner.
Thank you.
2014.
Thank you.
Best
thank
bike
you.
Shop in the valley.
That's what they say.
Why don't you tell me about your love for BMX biking and like the outings and things that you arrange through the bike shop with your?
Yeah, I mean, BMX bike is a bike that I feel every kid gets, like their first bike. I'm 42 now and I'm still riding one. Mm-hmm. They make them for all ages and sizes, though, so they grow with you. I like their simplicity. I like jumping off of things and building jumps, so that's what a BMX is for. Mm-hmm. And there were no shops around that catered to a BMX bike when I opened. It was always the bike in the corner at other major bike shops, so I saw a need there. Everything was always online. So that's how this shop originally started. It was 100% BMX. It's evolved since to survive. But in the wintertime, I rent a Greyhound bus, and we fill it with 60 kids, and we go to either Rye Airfield, which is in Rye, New Hampshire, or Cranks out in Syracuse, New York. It just started. Kids were bored in the winter, and so was I, and we wanted a place to ride. So I said, let's see if we can fill a bus. And the first time I did it, like 150 kids signed up. Aww. And we only had room for 60. So 12, 13 trips later, yeah, we just keep doing it. It's a good way to make money in the wintertime.
This winter was really snowy. Did you go out, or what do you do in this? Do you ride in the snow?
No, we went to Cranks out in Syracuse. It's an indoor facility. It's 90,000 square feet.
Okay.
Rye, New Hampshire, that's an indoor facility as well.
When the weather's warmer, do you go on outings or arrange things with youth around Northampton and Florence?
We do group rides. Every Sunday we meet up here at the shop and go just either ride to Northampton or ride around town, or we go to UMass and ride sometimes. Mm-hmm. And there's skate parks all around New England.
Has that started up yet for the season, or when will that start up?
It hasn't officially started up, but there's definitely been talk that we need to start our Sunday night rides really soon. Uh-huh. The weather is still a little crummy.
Uh-huh. For people that like to ride BMX just around Northampton and Florence,
yep.
What options are there?
I mean, the beauty of a BMX bike is you can ride it anywhere. I could have fun jumping off a curb all day long. You don't really need a big track or a park or anything. Mm-hmm. Kids can just build their own jumps in the woods or on their own land. Just takes a shovel.
Mm-hmm. So can
some
you
imagination?
I've seen some around here, like down on Riverside Drive, or kind of behind
Riverside
the
Drive.
Shop.
There's some amazing jumps, really big ones. There's little jumps behind the shop here, right off the bike path. That actually, I have a meeting with the Northampton Planning Board May 6th to talk about turning that area into a public pump track.
A pump? That's a word for a BMX pump, track.
Pump track is just a dirt course of berms and rollers that any bike can ride on. Well, not any bike, but any mountain bike or BMX bike. It's not just for BMX bikes.
Yeah.
It's really safe. It's really fun. It's good for all levels of riding.
All right, Jason, what can you tell me about the spoon in front of your shop?
We made the spoon for an event in Connecticut hosted by the Daily Grind. It's a BMX shop in Connecticut, and they invited all the other shops in New England to attend. And everybody had to bring an obstacle of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a BMX jam, so everyone needed to bring like a jump of some sort. And the event was called New England Jam Chowder. So we thought we should make a chowder spoon instead of a normal jump.
Mm-hmm.
So friends of mine in Chesterfield, John Childs, he's a metal fabricator. I drew up the plans and he made a spoon for us. Then we weren't sure how to get it there. So we decided to turn it into a trailer. And it's registered through the DMV. It's totally legit.
It's got taillights and
it has taillights and a license plate and everything. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite comments that you've gotten when you've been driving around with it?
No, but you definitely see people double take. It goes down the highway at 80 really well.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, I get a question on it. In the summertime, every day someone stops in and says, "What is that thing?"
What do customers do that are kind of thoughtful, and what do they do that you wish they wouldn't?
I love my customers. I have a lot of really great customers that bring us cookies. I have a lot of people that, not a lot, but a few, every year someone will buy a bike anonymously so we can give it away to a needy kid. And that happens every year, like two or three times a season, which is just amazing. I don't know of any other shops that has happened. I mean, I'm sure it's happened before, but it seems to be a regular thing here. I think people see that we like kids and are more of a community bike shop, so people want to give back to that. They like what we're doing. And so, yeah, I have a lot of great customers. The things that bug me about are the people that hang out all the time and ask questions about product and bikes, and then they come in the next day with a bike that they didn't get from you or parts that they ordered online. Because without supporting your local small bike shop, like, they're not going to exist. The internet has a way of taking over, and it's just not good for business, and it's not good for local business, and
it's not good for community.
It's not good for community, yeah.
That was Jason from Full Circle Bike Shop up in Florence. A minute ago, Duane and I were talking a little bit about the bike lab, and so I wanted to just play a little clip from someone who came to the bike lab last week, but he didn't know exactly where it was because it was his first time. And this is just kind of what it was like for him searching the neighborhood.
It was difficult to find the place, and, you know, it felt, you know, didn't want to like make people feel uncomfortable out here. I know, you know, I look different, and you know, people get the presumption that I'm somebody. They think I'm somebody that I'm not, but it's okay. I mean, you just gotta. You know, once I found the place, everybody was kind-hearted, helpful. You know, and had a really fun time. You know, coming here and getting new experiences and meeting new friends.
Uh-huh. Like I know I've heard on the news. Oh yeah, it was a person of color. They were just like. They were looking, they were scoping out the houses, and like, really, they were just lost.
Actually, the lady next door, she saw me, she started pressing her car, like, thinking I was going to steal her or something, so that was pretty, that some lady with a dog there, I was like, oh, whatever, you know, so it's okay. It's not the first time. I have, like, this stigma that people immediately assume due to my, the way I look and my height and my size, that it's, has, like, a bad representation, or more or less like automatically I am somebody that will bring harm to them or something. So that's kind of a stigma that I live with every day. So it's, you know, I just keep smiling and keep doing what I'm doing to move positive, move forward. So that's it.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for
Bye. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I was actually just reading online about the police shooting in South Carolina, a black man by a white police officer that was all caught on videotape. There's monthly support groups for people of color and their allies here in Northampton called What's Next? I Can't Breathe, What's Next? Hosted by Kaylin. They're the third Saturday of every month at 2 o'clock, and you can call 341-3503 for more information on that. It's also on her website. I forget the website, ltar.biz or something. I'll try and get that later. Anyway, you can call 341-3503 if you're interested in attending those or creating your own. There's also going to be a film called Throwaways. When a film has its debut. It's showing at the Academy of Music on April 23rd.
It's world premiere.
And it's by a local producer, Ira McKinley, and it's about people who are living on the street. All right. So. Next, I think, I'll talk about this. I'll play this interview that I did with the people who live next to the giant oak tree. Do you know the oak tree I'm talking about, Dwayne?
Yes, I do.
What's it look like?
An oak tree.
It's like, it probably takes like five people to reach around it. It reminds me of the giant sycamore in Sunderland that has the historic marker that says this tree has been here since the signing of the
Declaration of Independence.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, I forget the people's names who live there, but here it is.
I hated it when I first got here.
You hated it?
Yeah, it shades the whole house. Uh-huh. I did. I hated it. And then it grew on me.
Yeah, we had thought about getting it cut down, but you know, once it's gone, it's gone. Done, you know?
We
decided
it just gets shaded the whole house, and it makes the house damp, and it makes the yard damp, but then how can you not love it? It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. My kids had tire swings, broke their arm on the tire, you know, grew up with that, you know, and now it's time to put one on for the grandkids. Mm-hmm. We have this information on it. It does have the measurements and stuff.
Uh-huh.
2011.
So the circumference in inches, 210 inches.
Yeah.
108 feet high and 127 feet spread.
The spread is amazing.
It's wider than it is tall.
Yeah. We estimate it close to 300, we think.
Years old?
Yeah, we think so.
Yeah, I'm curious about your process of weighing the pros and cons for you, like the shade, the moisture. Because I know a lot of people, they just get frustrated with those things, and they cut down the trees, and then there's, and then, but you couldn't, I don't know how to
We couldn't.
I don't know, it's just part of life. You know, we've dealt with it. In the fall, it's a mess because you wouldn't believe the number of leaves that comes off this tree. And like I said, every two or three years, you know,
acorns.
We get inundated with
acorns. Yeah, you can
kind
of see what's left of the acorns here.
Yeah.
But you can't walk on the yard some years because it hurts your feet barefoot some years.
But it's part of life.
I know. My son, one of my sons, is just like, he would tie himself to it before he got it cut down.
Yeah.
The tree service guys, Was it Warner?
No, Larkin. Kevin Larkin from Larkin Tree.
Yeah. His dad used to do it.
He's the one who usually prunes it for us, so mm-hmm. he is excited to get up in it once every couple years.
I think he charges us like half price. Like somebody says, I can't touch it for $1,000. I think the last time he charged us like $450 just so he could get up in it.
Just that.
And
honor.
He says, yeah. I was, yeah. He says, yeah. You know, as a kid, I used to stand in your yard and watch my dad do it. You know, so it's even for the tree service guys. It's roots have ever gotten the house.
Uh-huh. And it's 6 feet away, maybe?
No. Yeah.
5 feet away?
It's crazy.
And we had a burl once fall off, and you got rid of it, which I was mad. It's this beautiful burl that was like, you know, it was bigger than this one. It was over on this side here. Uh-huh. Yeah, there was this big burl, and it just fell off, and he threw it out. They say it's wicked healthy. Yeah. We've never done anything to it, except probably have it trimmed. It's only twice since we've been here in 30 years, I think.
Yeah, really? Uh-huh.
People say, are you afraid it's going to fall? I'm like, nope. It's been here longer than us, so I'm thinking it's pretty sure. I'm thinking if it falls, it's going to be now because we got a new roof. Because like for 20 years, I'm like, if you're going to fall now. Yeah. We need a new roof.
The shade is nice in the summer, you know.
It is beautiful. I would never chop it down. It's amazing. I love it during a thunder and lightning storm. Like just to watch the branches light up. You know, like as the sky lights up, you can see the dark branches against the sky. Wow. I do love it. We have people stop. People come and pick up acorns to make acorn flour. You know, can we collect acorns? Take them all.
Yeah, thanks for sharing it. Cause I think so many people in the neighborhood and town love it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it is definitely a... Ted Watt, he works for the Hitchcock Center. All I had to say was, I live on Bardell Street. He goes, what house? One near the oak tree? I'm like, yeah, he lives in Amherst and knows the oak tree.
Yeah.
When I first got here, I was, 22, 23 years old, and it's like, I want sun. I want to go lay out in the sun. But, you know, then you realize you grow and mature, and you realize there's no way you could cut this down.
I'm Charlton Heston.
John Denver.
Hi, I'm Eddie Alba. Lloyd Bridges here, speaking for the National Arbor Day Foundation. Is there anything as marvelous as trees? They clean the air we breathe, create beauty.
They cool our cities, help fight pollution.
Birds will come here when it gets bigger. Children will play under its branches.
City trees add the soft touch of nature to our busy lives.
And all the time it's growing, it'll clear the air we breathe. Makes life better for everybody.
That's the miracle of trees. You plant one now, it'll make a world of difference later. The world in your neighborhood will be a much better place to live in.
All this for one little pine tree. Hey, why don't you plant a tree too? Please. Trees for America.
Plant a pine tree or plant an oak tree. I want to say a little bit more about the white oak, which is what I believe the one on Bardwell Street is. I just happened to get this in the mail today about white oaks. It's one of the preeminent hardwoods of eastern North America, located in every county of the state. This is from Kentucky, but it's many in Massachusetts too. It's a really important wildlife tree because the acorns provide food for so many things. The white oaks, they have less tannin than the red oaks and the acorns, and so they're pretty palatable. They just taste better. They also don't have dormancy, so they germinate quickly, and therefore the squirrels eat them soon, and they don't usually stash them. And acorns, in addition to protein, contain fats that are essential to many animals in preparation for winter. They provide between 40% and 60% of white-tailed deer sustenance in the fall, and deer prefer white oak acorns over other types. Also, black bears, if they don't put on enough fat reserves before winter, they won't give birth to cubs, and so acorns are important. And they're important for cover. The trees are important for cover and nesting sites for mammals and game birds. It has a deep root system, so it's pretty tolerant of a range of environmental conditions, but it's hard to transplant because it's taprooted. But with age, the taproot might disappear and be replaced by a more fibrous root system. And it's pretty drought resistant, but is sensitive to flooding. It's also sensitive to coal smoke and fly ash. And it's attacked by a few insects, to which it's resistant, but it's sensitive to disturbances in the root system. If these root disturbances are severe, it can be mortal. It's a large tree. It can reach 100 feet in height and may live between 300 and 600 years. They said on the Bardwell Street tree they thought was around 300 years old. So I guess it's only in middle age. Maybe. Who knows how much longer it could live. This thing also says, what I'm reading says, it's considered a climax tree. Not sure exactly what that means, but... All right, so Dwayne has got something to share.
Oh, yeah. You know, a long time ago I heard about fracking. When I heard about it, I'm like, that's nuts. I mean, first you're drilling holes in the ground to extract oil, and they're taking all this oil out of the ground, and they're leaving, like, big holes in the earth. And then they started taking and breaking the slate that's in there and fracking and cracking. And, you know, I'm like, that's just going to lead to more earthquakes. And, you know, slowly and surely, no matter what the gas companies say, that it has. So I did a little research, and over the past decades, the oil and gas industry have fused together two technologies, hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling, in a high-polluting effort to unlock oil and gas underground and rock formations across the United States. So I thought I need to look into this more and find out. I mean, I hear about the fracking fluid and what it's doing to the water, and the more I was reading, then I'm finding out that after it's used, they just want to put it back in the ground someplace, in a pit, underneath the ground, underneath the water. Fracking produces enormous volumes of toxic wastewater, often cancer-causing and even radioactive material. Once brought to the surface, the toxic waste poses hazards for drinking water, air quality, and public safety. I'm reading off this article on the web that says, fracking wells nationwide produce an estimated 280 billion gallons of wastewater in 2012. That's 280 billion gallons of water that we're never going to be able to use. That's just in 1 year. That's just in the United States. And there's fracking all over the world. So I see the water, and seeing how they won't list a lot of the chemicals that they put into the fracking water, which attributes to about 2% of the total for the water that they use, the chemicals that they mix, along with 15% of recycled fluid from old fracking fluid, 20% of water that they buy from, like, say, the local water people, whoever that is, and then they get 53% from the rivers and streams. And so I thought to myself, well, that's not very good. It's not. But then again, air pollution is another thing, because it releases a lot of methane gas. So it says that air pollution from the fracking contributes to the formation of the ozone smog, which reduces lung function among healthy adults, triggers asthma. But it releases a lot of methane. CO2 can be absorbed. The methane has a hard time of being absorbed. It says methane is a global warming pollutant that's 25 times more powerful than carbon dioxide. And it's released at multiple stages during fracturing, including hydraulic fracturing and well completion. So, global warming emissions from completion of fracking wells since 2005 has a total estimated 100 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. So, when I started thinking about this, and I said, well, I don't like this fracking, and what can we do about it? So I looked up what we had for Massachusetts. Just a second here.
Well, I just want to say a thing about, you're talking about the air pollution of it. Just thinking about trucking all that water around, like where they're drilling next to my parents' place, the neighbor's land, like there's a creek that runs through it, and I see the water truck going down there with the hoses and filling up at the creek and driving up the mountain. Actually, I don't think they're fracking there, but just in the regular drilling process, the amount of energy spent in trucking water around is kind of hard to think about. And then when they truck it to the wells, the dirty water to put back in. Peter Kokot, he's been involved in trying to get some legislation in Massachusetts. Is that right, Dwayne?
Yes, correct. This says last week, but this was in 2013. Massachusetts moving closer to banning hydraulic fracturing in the Bay State. This is a day after Texas, the epicenter of fracking in the United States, suffered a 3.6 magnitude earthquake. Now, when I seen that, Texas is not known for, like, tectonic plates and a lot of things like that. So I looked it up, and I looked at the history of earthquakes in Texas. they don't have them. So they had a 3.6 magnitude earthquake, and they had about like 8 or 10 aftershocks. And Texas has like over 5,000 wells in fracking. So luckily for us in Massachusetts, well, they want to put a moratorium so we can't like groundwater. We're not going to take in any of the fracking fluid. We're not going to bring it into the state, barring toxic. They want to do this for 10 years, which is great.
Let me just clarify. This article is from December of 2013.
Okay. So they're pushing for a 10-year moratorium, which we are not like a hotspot for fracking. We're not in the Marcellus shale deposit from the Appalachians. That goes right up to like in just a little short of like our border from New York State. We're in the Hartford Basin, which is not like a huge shale deposit that may contain gas. So no companies have expressed any interest in exploring or developing shale gas in Massachusetts. Thank you. Thank you. So, and the more I looked on this, I really couldn't find if that bill had been passed or not. So, but you can go to Peter Colcott. There's a petition, I believe, for Peter Colcott, masshouse.gov. You can take and contact him, and I think there's a petition that you can sign online, which is really good.
Yeah, reducing our consumption is always good, too. I'm originally from the coal country in Kentucky, and when I go home, I see bumper stickers that say things like, if you don't like coal, then don't use electricity. And if you don't like coal, then turn off your lights and freeze your off in the dark. But if you don't like coal, don't use electricity. If you don't like fracking, then don't use oil. That's kind of like saying if you don't like cars, then don't drive. Or if you don't like, you know, whatever, don't do it. But all the animals and the people and the plants that have to suffer anyway, doesn't matter if they do it or not, if they use it or not. Did you find that next thing you're looking for?
Yeah, so all this fracking that we're doing, I mean, our oil reserves are pretty full, as you were saying. So they want to take and export it. So this is on from the Huffington Post. Fracking exports will leave the U.S. communities in the dark. Senate Democrats, members of the Climate Caucus, stayed up all night in the Senate floor to speak out about climate change. This is an important moment to highlight the most critical environmental issue of our time. What was not mentioned, however, was the fact that the threat to our planet posed by exporting LNG, liquefied natural gas, extracted through increasingly controversial protests known as fracking. Yet, legislation authored by one of their own, Senator Mark Udall from Colorado, another fracker. Ever since the crisis in Ukraine, the oil and gas industry and its friends have been pushing exports of gas, while many justifications have offered to explain this push for LNG exports. In reality, it has nothing to do with the lofty foreign policy objectives. They want to take all this gas that they're taking and cracking up in our country and send it to China, Japan, India, anywhere but here. So that's pretty upsetting.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of, seems like we have a lot of fossil fuels right now. You got a song? Are you ready for the song, Dwayne? Or do you got some more? Sorry, I didn't know if you were done.
Also, there's a woman in Pennsylvania where they're doing like a lot of fracking. Her name is Vera Scroggins, and her protesting of the fracking movement that's in her whole area in Pennsylvania. She's one person that goes and finds out and has been protesting. And the company, Cabot Oil and Gas, went to court and got an injunction to trespass her from approximately 312.5 square miles in her hometown of Pennsylvania. Any place that they have a lease, so she can't go to the hospital, she can't go to the grocery store, she can't visit her neighbors without the threat of being arrested. She does have a website, and she's very, very active. Well, maybe not as much now, seeing how she's got this, can get arrested, but I mean, I'm sure she could go to other places, and you really should take and look up her website. She's active in a few different things, but imagine that. The oil and gas companies afraid of this little lady because she's going to make a lot of noise, and so they take her to court, and the court sided with them, the gas companies, because the courthouse was on leased gas property. Wow. Go figure that one out.
That's pretty inspiring. I'll have to read more about her. I dig that kind of courage and speaking out. Are we ready for the song? Is there more? Is there more you want to share?
Go ahead. I'll do this some other time, maybe.
No, I'm not.
I'm not trying to rush you. I just didn't know if you were...
Okay. Well, no, that's pretty much what I have right now. I just want to mention Peter Colcott. Climate Progress. I mean, you can go on the websites, and you just put in fracking. I got costs of fracking, the environment, fracking exports, all sorts of different things. If you want some good reading and get spooky, and just be thankful you live in Massachusetts. There's people down in southern New York State who want to secede into Pennsylvania where fracking is legal because they're sitting on an all-ass shale too. So hopefully we can get like Massachusetts to join in with Vermont and maybe New Hampshire and Maine, and we can keep all that wastewater out of here and out of our systems. I did see one interesting thing that says, I mean, there's no accountability for the oil companies and the gas companies. So they start trucking in. It takes roughly 8 million gallons of water to frack one well.
And they
can only use, so that's like 10 Olympic size or 20 Olympic size swimming pools just to pump into the ground. And they can only use the water once. As I said before, they can only reuse recycled fluid if they recycle it. There was a organization in California that was saying that on the top, when people go in to take and start doing fracking, I mean, this is all about accountability because highways are getting destroyed. You're taking water out of systems. People, how far, like in Zimbabwe, do people have to take and just travel each day for water? How many hours?
Yeah, like
Do they have to travel for water because it's so precious?
Sometimes it's, you know, 3-hour walk each way to go get water where my brother works sometimes, he says.
Right. So, I mean, so if you offered those people, okay, here's a couple of gallons of water, here's a chunk of gold, they're going to take the water because they can use it. But a well can be fracked more than once. So every time that's 8 million gallons of water going in there, and then they're looking for some other place where they can just take and dump it in the ground. When this one company in California, Voila, they say that they're in the process of reclaiming the water. So it's either through evaporation or however. They said that they can make the water so clean that they would have to put minerals into it to make it so it would be drinkable. But they said that on the accountability side, that if the companies that are going to take in frack, if the states say, look, you have to take and cover for the recycling of the water, it would add only 5% of the total cost for the well and everything, and plus what they get. I think that's more than reasonable. I mean, to have your water back, maybe not as good as you want to take, and not coming out of the springs or anything, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the oil companies can probably afford to pay a little bit more.
5% of what they're doing just so they can take an undo. If you mess up your room, your parents tell you to clean it up, so I think the government should take a bigger stand against these oil companies who are lining their pockets, like the EPA. Mm-hmm. Who's just, underestimating the amount of methane gas that's being produced by, like, a lot. So if you want some pretty interesting and depressing reading, just start looking up fracking online and see what you get. And it's all about accountability, and they should be really held more accountable.
Yeah, now, also, I want to give a little shout-out to the people in the north of us who are trying to fight off the pipeline, the proposed pipeline. I know there was a walk on Sunday by some Quakers because the pipeline's proposed to go through Woman Hill. All right, now we got a song. Thanks for sticking with us.
And the sign said, long hair freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man, I think you do. So I took off my hat, said, imagine that, ha, me working for you. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking at the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? And the sign said, anybody caught trespassing would be shot on sight.
So I jumped off the fence and I yelled at the house, hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out, but to keep Mother Nature in? Huh, if God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner. Sign said, everybody welcome, come and kneel down and pray. But when they passed down the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay. So I got me a pen and a paper, and I made up my own little sign. I said, thank you, dear Lord, for thinking about me, I'm alive, oh, I'm doing fine. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Scenery breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Looking at the scenery breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?
That was Manfred Mann and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and also Dwayne Rainey here today.
That song was for Vera Scroggins.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that was Dwayne's DJ pick. Thanks, Dwayne. So, speaking of oil, I have something else oil related to play. But I don't know how to find it on the computer. No, it was right here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to play another song I like, because I talked about bikes earlier and I meant to play this song with the bikes, but I'll just play it now. Fats Domino. Thanks, Fats, for this. So there were a couple other stories from my week that I wanted to share with listeners. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of oil swishing. All right, let me just play this.
I was just talking with a who was telling me about oil swishing. I think that's what it's called. You take a tablespoon or two of oil in the morning and you put it in your mouth and you swish it around, like, I don't know, coconut oil or sesame oil. First I thought, oh, that would make me gag. And I wondered, and then what do you do with the oil? Do you just spit it out? Like, you couldn't use it for sautéing because there'd be spit water particles in it that would make it splatter. But you could use it for soup, I guess. If it's coconut oil, then wouldn't you have to heat it up to melt it before you could swish it? And what about the energy there? Do you know how many calories are in a tablespoon of oil? One tablespoon is 28 grams, is 9 calories per gram, which is like 260. There's about 260 calories in a tablespoon of oil. That's good calories. You know what? When I get oil, like, oil is precious. That can fuel me for a long time. So to just throw it away, especially good quality oil, like sesame oil, that stuff's delicious. Or coconut oil, like, why do you want to just swish that stuff around and spit it out? Plus, it's kind of expensive. And the person said, Gwyneth Paltrow does it. And I thought, whoever that is, some health freak or something. Besides, you know, whoever that is, I bet Gwyneth Paltrow drives a car and flushes her piss down the toilet. Why the heck would I want to be like her?
All right, that's my commentary on that.
This is Professor Howard Zinn. The independent, non-commercial radio station you're listening to is really important in the maintenance of democracy. Thomas Jefferson once said, an informed democracy will behave in a reasonable manner. So if you care about being informed, if you care about democracy, if you're a reasonable person, you are, of course. Please support your source for uncensored news and views and the voice of your community.
Are you interested in connecting with the international community in the Pioneer Valley? Then volunteer to help your immigrant neighbors improve their English and integrate better into their surroundings. Become a volunteer tutor. Take a free 15-hour training taught by the International Language Institute in downtown Northampton. For more details and an application, go to ili.edu or contact Amy at ili.edu. Students come from Africa, Asia, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East. So volunteer to tutor and expand your world.
Brothers and sisters, the time has come for each and every one of you to decide. It takes 5 seconds. 5 seconds of decision.
Get yourself to downtown Northampton, Mass. On Friday nights, where a party has been going on for 26 years at the Valley's only all-ages, shoe-free, substance-free, alcohol-free, smoke-free dance spree. Six resident DJs, DJ Liquid G, DJ July, DJ Wheeler, DJ Alan S, DJ Zoe, and DJ Root, that's me, with a handle on booty-shaking tunes from yesterday and today, club, disco, hip-hop, world beat, funky breaks, progressive trance, oldies, swing, salsa, waltzes, and more. Part of the larger Dance New England network, Dance Spree has been providing a home for a vibrant and diverse community of folks who love to dance to a variety of music in a healthy atmosphere. Come check it out. Volunteers are always appreciated. Info online at dancespree.org or come by 8:30 p.m. Friday nights, 25 Main Street, 4th floor, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts.
Oh, remember earlier I was telling you something that really ticked me off about the U.S. government making $50 billion last year on student loans? Another thing that really kind of gets me is most college students getting out of a four-year college enter the world, the workforce, over $100,000 in debt. Here we are, the richest country in the world, supposedly. And other people, like in France and stuff, they have free college and free health care. Something to think about, getting out of school and I would cry. I would get my diploma and be in tears because I was happy. Because now they're going to want the money, and they're going to get you with the interest and penalties. That really kind of makes me mad.
All right, well, Democracy Now! Is coming up at 5 o'clock. There's lots of other good shows on Valley Free Radio. There's just a whole variety of shows. And here's a couple.
Join me, DJ Fife, for Drum and Bass with DJ Fife, Monday nights at 8 o'clock on the Valley Free Radio, 103.3 MHz, Northampton, Massachusetts. Each week you'll hear a live DJ mix of jungle drum and bass that highlights the biggest and best from around the world. Listen in for DJ guest mixes, locally produced tunes, and news for the jungle massive. That's Drum and Bass with DJ Fife, Mondays at 8 o'clock, part of the Monday Music Night on the Valley Free Radio.
Let's hear what happened.
Tune in every Sunday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for the Double Bubble Hour, 3,600 seconds of sugar-coated sounds, right here on WXOJLP Northampton, 103.3 FM.
Look around and see what you can see. Don't be down when you see you're loving me.
Aquí habla Marta Martínez, acupunturista de Stay in Touch. Está oyendo a Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, Northampton.
So that about wraps it up for out there. Next week, I have a special guest, Craig Della Penna, is going to be live in the studio. He lives in Florence. He wrote a book about Florence history. He's very knowledgeable about the rails, trails, and history of railroads and real estate and many, many things. But I'm excited to talk to him next week about, for example, the plans for the tunnel to go underneath the railroad tracks by Stop and Shop to connect the rail trails. He told me the other day he's a wealth of useless information. But he knows a lot of the...
Worse than me?
He knows a lot of the wheeling and dealing that goes on. Anyway, stay tuned for Democracy Now! Here's a little bit of David Rovics to take us out.
Everybody's wondering what they're gonna do. Everything's a mess and folks are feeling blue. If your troubles got you down so much you can't abide, get on that bicycle and ride. Yeah, get on that bicycle and ride. Neath the sunny skies or along the ocean side, just ride. Ride, 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 ride. They're doing it in Eugene, Havana, and Shanghai. Even folks in Boston town are giving it a try. Throwing out their gas tanks, the clean air by their side. Just get on that bicycle and ride. Yeah, get on that bicycle and ride. Neath the sunny skies or along the ocean side, just ride, 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 ride. It's good for your heart.
You are listening to Democracy Now! On Valley Free Radio 103.